to our old friends. And somewhere in the small town, someone always asks where you've been. So I tell them what you told me, and they can't believe we're through. They ask me what I'm doing now, and in case you're wondering too, I breathe in.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Nikki Haley turning to South Carolina and vowing to stay in the race against former President Trump after losing last night's New Hampshire primary. No deal yet, but a bipartisan group of senators expressing optimism about immigration reform. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham urging his Republican colleagues in Congress not to stand in the way if a compromise can be reached.
I've never seen a better time to get structural changes at the border than now. And if we say no all the time, every time, then shame on us.
The White House likewise expressing optimism, but saying there are sticking points on ultimate costs. A Minnesota state trooper now facing murder charges in the shooting death of a motorist back in July. Prosecutors in Hennepin County say they've charged trooper Ryan Lonergan with second-degree unintentional murder and other charges after Lonergan shot Ricky Cobb II during a traffic stop. Jon Stewart rejoining The Daily Show, set to host one show per week through the election. This is ABC News. Jury selection continues in Michigan in a first-of-its-kind trial. A parent charged stemming from a school shooting carried out by their child.
Jennifer Crumbly, mother of Ethan Crumbly, has pleaded not guilty to involuntary manslaughter, with prosecutors alleging she failed to intervene and helped buy the gun her son used in the 2021 Oxford High School shooting in Michigan that left four students dead. Ethan's father, James, will be tried separately later this year. During the ongoing jury selection, prospective jurors are being asked their opinions on guns, gun ownership, and the storage of guns. Ethan is now 17 and pleaded guilty in 2022 to murder, terrorism, and other crimes. He could be called as a witness in his parents' trials, but his lawyers say they'll urge him not to testify. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
San Diego's mayor says recovery from historic flooding this week could take months in some areas. The National Weather Service says the city recorded 2.75 inches of rainfall on Monday. The area typically gets just over 2 inches during the entire month of January. Two more storms on the way. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try soon. Harry's is available online and in-store at a retailer near you. Get a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/quality. That's harrys.com/quality. Or check us out at your local Costco for a price you can't find anywhere else. Just look for the Chrome Razor with 13 blade refills at your local Costco. You can't miss it. Exclusive to Costco members.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayland. In his State of the State address Tuesday night, Governor Tony Evers called Wisconsin's workforce challenges the most significant facing the state. Evers also called for investment in child care, education, and expanded paid family leave. The Republican response to the address had State Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux saying that the state's revenue surplus should go back to taxpayers.
That surplus should not be spent to further grow the size of government, as the governor suggests, or create new entitlement programs, or even sit in a bank account in Madison earning interest. The surplus should be returned to the taxpayers, who have given the state government more than their money than is necessary.
Earlier in the day, a new tax cut package was introduced by Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature to use $2.1 billion of the state surplus. State Senate Republicans on Tuesday approved a revised version of Governor Evers' proposed legislative maps.
The changes avoid placing Republican incumbents in the same district running against each other. The tweaked maps passed on a 17-14 vote. Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein dismissed the plan as incumbent protection in an interview with WisPolitics. Majority Leader Devin Lemahue defended what he called minor changes to undo what he said was Evers' attempt to target Republican incumbents. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
It's more information on a death that Green Bay police deemed suspicious. Police have identified the man whose body was found lying in the snow in a business parking lot on the city's east side Saturday morning. It's 19-year-old Alejandro Morales Morales of Black Creek. Though the death is still considered suspicious, police say an initial investigation doesn't indicate that foul play was a factor. Morales Morales was reported missing by family earlier in the morning prior to the discovery of his body. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
A lot goes into powering this community. That's why your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wants you to know we've got you. It's a pledge to make sure you're always taken care of. A pledge we honor every day. From our member service representatives to our linemen and those making sure the power you use is there when you need it. We've got you. Always.
Riverland Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Cloudy and mild today as high temperatures spike to the upper 30s. With this warmth over the current snowpack, we're seeing patchy, dense fog at times. By tonight, there's a small chance of some light freezing rain, which could create some slick and slippery spots for tomorrow morning's commute. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Right now, 34 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Farmers. Live from the first 24 of 24 via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, I'll begin with a conversation with Dr. Ernie Goss from Creighton University's Heider School of Business. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Ben Renshi and Ted Hamer. Directly following the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm outstanding guest host Davis Michelson filling in for Chip. Good morning, beloved listeners. Thank you so much for tuning into AgriTalk this morning. As I mentioned, I am filling in for Chip this morning. Chip is out this week enjoying some, you know what, to be honest, I don't want to give it away, but my man's out enjoying some fun in the sun. He found some actual warm sunshine, and he and the missus are soaking it in, and doggone it, super happy for him. Hope you're enjoying it wherever you may be, my brother. In the meantime, you and I have got to keep the ag boat floating right here on AgriTalk, and that's exactly what we do today. I've got a phenomenal show lined up for you. It all sort of fell in together. You know, some days it's like, okay, well, no, this one really came together super nicely. I'm going to start with Dr. Ernie Goss. We haven't checked in with Creighton University's, they do sort of a, they call it the Rural Main Street Economy Survey. And it's a monthly survey of the economy. We've covered it before, but for a fifth straight month, the Rural Main Street Index sank below growth neutral. I don't know how big a deal of this this is. We're not too far below growth neutral, but we are below. And I want to find out what's driving that. What does that mean for attitudes, for the way that farmers and ag bankers conduct business, because we can't forget that ag banking connection to the financing that so many of us rely on so heavily every year. Dr. Ernie Goss is, there's nobody better to talk about this sort of stuff, and he's got some fresh results from his survey that he'll report on for us here. And then we've got Ben Renshi and Ted Hamer, both of these dudes. I mean, I'm going to pull stuff straight from the news. I'm going to pull stuff from my conversation. I'm going to run all sorts of stuff by these guys. I have tremendous respect for the both of them, and I'm anxious to see their thoughts on a variety of things. Some we'll get deep into. Some will just sort of hit some quick hit, do you care, do you not care type stuff, and move on from there. I'm really looking forward to today's show. And then after the news here, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop will give us an update as to what she's thinking about lately. So let's begin with the National Weather Service near-term weather outlook. Heavy rainfall and concerns for flash flooding for portions of the lower Mississippi Valley, Tennessee Valley, and Gulf states through Friday morning. A swath of freezing rain and some accumulating snowfall will impact portions of the Midwest, lower Great Lakes, hello South Bend, and the Northeast. Much milder air with temperatures surging well above normal can be expected through the middle of the week.
for much of the eastern half of the country yesterday afternoon. In case you missed it, we checked in with our 6 to 10 day and 7 to 14 day forecast from the National Weather Service, and they flipped it from below normal temperatures expected to pretty much the entire nation looking for above normal temperatures in the 6 to 10 day, and then especially in that 8 to 14 day forecast. So warming trend ahead, gang. Former President Donald Trump won the New Hampshire primary with more than 54%, while Nikki Haley held just under 44% with nearly 90% of votes counted. Trump's New Hampshire win follows his landslide victory last week in Iowa, where the former president won more than 50% of the vote. He is the first non-incumbent in the modern era to win both Republican presidential contests in Iowa and New Hampshire. Trump's win increases the chances of a rematch with Joe Biden. Nikki Haley vowed to fight on, but her loss raises questions about how long she can stay in that race. That'll be a key here, and we'll get to that in just a second. Excuse me. An interesting note on the Haley campaign there. On the Democratic side, President Joe Biden also beat his challengers via a write-in campaign, defeating Representative Dean Phillips from Minnesota and author Marianne Williamson. Now, I'm reporting this for the sake of fairness and balancedness, but on the Democratic side, it really doesn't mean anything. It's just sort of nifty, kind of something that they decided that they would do. This is interesting here. If Trump is convicted of a felony, 42% of voters in New Hampshire and nearly a third of Iowa's Republican caucus goers said Trump would be unfit for the presidency. I want to ask our panelists about this one, and this may be why Mrs. Haley is still in the race here, and we'll hang on for a little bit longer. Six House Republicans have expressed their opposition to increasing the reference prices that trigger farm subsidy payments. What? They argue that during a time when Congress should be focused on reducing federal spending, it's important to resist costly efforts that expand government intervention into the free market. Yeah, I probably should bring this one up to Ben and Ted as well. Argentina led global in food inflation in 2023, beating out Lebanon and Venezuela. Lebanon reported its overall price index, which was 192% compared to 211% for Argentina and 193% for Venezuela. Today marks 700 days since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg warned the war has turned into a battle of ammunition. And finally, wholesale beef prices firmed on Tuesday, pushing cutting margins into the black, which should give packers some incentive to more actively bid for market-ready cattle supplies coming later on this week. And now let me bring in Margie Echocamp from The Scoop. Margie, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Davis. Yeah, looking to do a little bit of a crossover if you're game for it this morning.
I'm absolutely game. What you got?
Yeah, so a little bit of a crossover for our ag retail and Scoop audience and the other half of my role at Farm Journal, which is leading top producer and that CEO business-minded farmer. And what my crossover is referring to is a very exciting opportunity we continue to have with the team of Ag Launch. So Ag Launch is an ag technology accelerator based out of Memphis, but with a growing national footprint. And every year we help them put the spotlight on 10 startups that show great promise across the spectrum of ag. So in just a week and a half, if you can believe it, we will be at Top Producer Summit in Kansas City. There is still, it's exciting. And AgriTalk will be there as well as at least one of our farmer panelists that'll be on your show later this afternoon. But folks can still get registered at tpsummit.com. Again, that's taking place February 5th to the 7th in Kansas City. On February 6th, we will hear pitches from this year's cohort of startups. So there are 10 of them. They span everything from biologicals to some artificial intelligence, as well as some livestock applications as well. So a little bit of everything for everyone, including just being inspired about what these founders and entrepreneurs are looking to bring forward in the industry. Always a highlight of my year as I've worked with Ag Launch, but in the recent history too, we've been able to bring them into Top Producer Summit, and we're really looking forward to hosting them.
Bringing the traditional farmer into communion with the brand new stuff coming out on the market. Margie, lots to be excited about at Top Producers Summit and with your Ag Launch cohort there. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Davis.
Coming up next, we've got Dr. Ernie Goss, Ph.D. from the Jack A. McAllister Chair in Regional Economics at Creighton University's Hyder College of Business. Whew. We're going to talk about the economy. Stick around.
Biogel, a new carbon-based product labeled for both conventional and organic crops, is now available. Biogel, when applied in furrow at the low rate of 1 pound per acre, retains up to 20% more water at the crop roots, slows nitrogen leaching, and is also a carbon food source for soil microbes, enabling your crop to handle drought and stress and increase yields. For more information, call 855-4-BIOGEL. That's 855-4-B-I-O-G-E-L.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our farmers' first philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trifold, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trifold worked. See for yourself at TrifoldInAction.com. Trifold is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here behind the big green leafy microphone in Chip's stead. Chip will be back next week. This afternoon, we've got Michelle Rook behind the big green leafy microphone. She'll have a conversation with Arlen Suderman, good friend of the show, always a great guest. I'm going to bring in Dr. Ernie Goss from Creighton University's Hyder College of Business in just a moment for some context here. Let me just read this. Creighton University's monthly Rural Main Street Economy Survey reports falling confidence among respondents. Higher borrowing costs, tighter credit conditions, and weaker grain prices push the farm equipment sales index below growth neutral for the seventh time in the past 8 months, and economic confidence remained very weak. Let's bring in Dr. Ernie Goss right now, Jack A. McAllister Chair in Regional Economics at Creighton University's Hyder College of Business. It's a heck of a title. Dr. Goss, welcome to AgriTalk. Good morning, sir. Perhaps we're still waiting on the connection there just a little bit. There are a number of these sorts of surveys out there. This one from Creighton has been very interesting because it breaks out sort of the expectations that bankers have here. It looks like maybe I'm getting a note here. We've got Dr. Goss. Dr. Goss, welcome to AgriTalk. Have we got you?
Yeah, you've got me. Glad to be with you. Sorry for that connection issue on my part.
Oh, not a problem at all. Not a problem at all. We're just glad to have you with us there. Dr. Goss, you're over there at Creighton. You do the survey every month here. I guess maybe, you know, for the fifth straight month, we're below growth neutral here. I guess maybe just for a wide view, I would ask you, you know, just your general thoughts on this before we get into any general specifics, sir.
Well, it's, of course, a survey of bank CEOs in rural areas of 10 states talking about mostly farm conditions. And as most of your listeners would know, we were talking about somewhat weaker commodity prices, agricultural commodity prices. Likewise, the higher interest rates are beginning to cut into what's going on in the farm, and also the global economic slowdown, whether that's in China or Asia or Europe, that's having some impacts on the farm economy, and that's what bankers are telling us.
Looking at that, at the specific readings here, the region's overall reading for January rose to 48.1. That's up from a 41.7, Dr. Goss, in December. That almost feels like we're on the cusp of maybe popping back over growth positive here. Am I looking at the increase and reading too much into it, sir?
No, you're seeing the glass as half full. And, of course, economists, we always see it as half empty. But you're right. Things are not as bad as I'm implying. But we've seen farm equipment sales, for example, decline for the seventh month out of that last 8 months. Ooh. And, of course, now on the positive side, if you're a seller of farmland prices are continuing to expand at a pretty good pace. And, of course, that's just that what we're talking about there, in my judgment, is long-term versus short to intermediate term. In other words, the long-term outlook for the agricultural sector is very positive. We're talking about, and now in terms of the short to intermediate term, little issues there with the higher interest rates. On the positive side also, we asked the bankers about farm loan delinquencies, almost none. Delinquencies are up a bit, but less than 1 percentage point. So that's the good news. I think it's more to do with what's going on rural Main Street businesses. Mm. That would be the retailers. That would be the farm equipment sellers. They're seeing some slowdowns, and that's what bankers are seeing, and that's what they're reporting on. Not so much what's going on the farm, though.
Now, I'm curious here. When you talk about something you just said, made me think of it. I mean, you've got your small-town implement dealer. They're selling tractors and plows and et cetera out there, implements. But then you've also got those, you know, you got the barbershop downtown. You've got, you know, Mary just opened up a little store to sell her crochet stuff and whatever. Does your survey taking into account those crochet shops and barbershops as well? Or are we just looking strictly ag-related businesses on rural Main Street?
It has to do with those others, retailers, the housing market. We ask separate questions in regard to that. We'll ask about retail sales. We ask about housing sales. And those are down, but it's primarily based upon the farm economy. And the farm economy, of course, is front and center in the areas we survey. And, of course, that's what we're seeing. And the global economic slowdown, that's particularly in China, that's being telegraphed back to this part of the country. And that's particularly true for the pork producers in Iowa, for example, which is an important sector of the Iowa ag economy. And we're seeing some softer numbers there. Livestock, beef, on the other hand, beef is holding up pretty well, and that's across all the way from Colorado to Illinois in the east. And, of course, that's important as well. But we're seeing grain prices a bit lower today than they were a year ago and lower today than they were 3 or 4 months ago.
You've got some bankers in here, one specifically that you quoted. He's pretty concerned for how much farmers can make in the coming year. He's concerned about 2024 and the balance sheets on the farm there. Where does that concern come from?
Mostly, I think, from higher interest rates, but also a slowdown in the softer agricultural commodity prices. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing those. The global economy is slowing down. We're talking about other factors like, farm equipment sales. And, you know, if you take a look at the ETF, Exchange Traded Fund for Agricultural Equipment and Agricultural Products, That number is down from $90 plus per share down to $70 plus per share. That's telling us something, that something's is softer there in the agriculture economy. In that exchange traded fund, that MOO, it's M-O-O, that's telling us companies like John Deere and others that are offering agricultural products, they're seeing some softer numbers, and that's being reflected in our survey.
That's interesting. I don't want that to slip by our listeners. You're talking about that stock symbol MOO as an equipment manufacturer's ETF as something that you kind of keep an eye on. Did I hear that right?
We do keep an eye on. It's not part of our survey, but take a look. It's not just the equipment. There's also soft products like fertilizer producers and others that are also in there. But that's down. Yesterday when I took a look at it, it was 70 plus. And that's down from 90 plus a year ago. So that's telling us something about the agricultural sector. But I don't want to be too pessimistic. Long term, we're in a good place for agriculture. But it's this short term downturns that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, it does feel like there's an awful lot working against the row crop farmer in the U.S. coming up in the coming year. There are export concerns, there are competition concerns, and then we got this huge carryover, and you're talking about the economic downturn in the rest of the world. Does that downturn threaten necessarily some business coming out of the U.S., or, you know, the stuff that farmers are trying to sell on the export market, are they enough of a gotta-have kind of a thing that we can weather this storm even with what you might call a bulging carryout?
Oh, we will weather it. I mean, in other words, this is at the margin. It is important, though. I don't want to underestimate that, where there's pork sales in China or whether it's corn sales in Mexico. All that is important. But again, the overall, the farm sector looks reasonably strong. Now, we've got the farm bill, which is, where is that bill? I mean, right. Coming out of D.C., I mean, that doesn't help. And also, some areas, we're still seeing some weather conditions. That's the drought, of course. And the drought conditions in certain parts of the region that we survey is important.
I'm part of your survey here led me to transitioning. The word in here, I'm just going to read it. When asked about the share of farm clients facing generational transition, that sounds like succession planning to me. On average, bankers estimate that approximately 25% will face transition issues in the next decade. Am I thinking about this correctly when we're thinking about succession? And if so, what are these transition issues and how can we solve them?
Well, I don't think there's much. What I see there, I see it as more positive. And that's, in other words, transition, we're talking about retirement, of course, selling the farm, and more than 50% say they expect those farms to go to their heirs. Another 40 plus percent say that they'll go to other farmers in the area. And that's very good. In other words, we see too much, I believe, and in my judgment, too much hype about the sales going to Chinese, sales going to others outside. No, it's mostly within the community, and that's good in my judgment, and that bodes well for the long term for the agricultural sector.
For sure, for sure. Dr. Ernie Goss, you've been very generous with your time this morning. It sounds like, although you're saying you're an economist and so you see the glasses half empty, I don't know, I may be detecting some bubbles of optimism in there, brother. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. I live in this part of the country, and I have to say, in the best part of the best nation on the face of the earth, it's good to be linked to agriculture in the long term.
Yes, sir. Dr. Ernie Goss from Creighton University, thank you so much for your time, sir. Have a great day.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be with you.
Absolutely. We appreciate Dr. Goss's time. Well, coming up, we've got the Farmer Forum. I'm going to bounce some of these ideas off the fellas. I got Ben Renshi and Ted Hamer, a couple of really smart dudes. Let's see what they're thinking about today on AgriTalk.
When you're planting, having the right scale system on your bulk fill planter or drill pays for itself. Use Point from ScaleTech to verify proper seeding rates and make money-saving adjustments on the fly. Not to mention, monitor your seed supply with pinpoint accuracy. You could guess, but why? Instead of checking your hoppers manually, keep your tractor moving and let Point do the work. Save time and money with Point. Visit ScaleTech.com to learn more.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. February and March milk both down 12. February at 15.58, March 15.85, April down 15 to 16.48, May down 10 at 17.20. Live cattle markets continue to move mostly higher as the optimism continues, even though the market's aware midday box beef prices were lower. Feeder cattle markets continue to move mostly higher as the feeder cattle contracts are trading higher despite the higher corn prices. It's the support of the live cattle market helping feeders. Hogs also keeping the pace higher as there's expectations of more pork demand in the future with China. February live cattle up 55 cents to 175.20. January feeder cattle up 92 cents to 231.92. February hogs up 52 cents to 73.82. Chicago Board of Trade to corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly higher. While the daily wires are quiet today, the trade is still expecting the funds to continue some of their short covering as it looks as if the grain markets may have reached a bottom. Now, there is some dry weather, at least in the short term, in parts of South America. New crop corn up 3 3/4 to 481 1/4. New crop beans now up 2 1/4 to 1209 1/4. Chicago wheat march up 12 to 608 1/2. Minneapolis wheat march up 5 to 704. With this market update, I'm Brian Winnekins. Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC. Hey, Wisconsin soybean farmers. Do you know how your soybean checkoff helps fuel Wisconsin? Soybeans play a critical role in helping our communities, our economy, our environment, our future, our farms, and our world. Stop by the Wisconsin Soybean Booth at this year's Corn Soybean Expo, February 1st and 2nd at the Kalahari in Wisconsin Dells to learn how your Wisconsin soybean farmers and soybean checkoff are working hard to increase your impact from the farm to the future.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here with you in Chip's stead. Great conversation with Dr. Ernie Goss from Creighton to set up our Farmer Forum here. Let me bring in my first guest panelist, Ben Renchie. Ben, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us today. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. Glad to be here.
Ben, before we bring in Ted here, I want to hear, you know, what's on your mind at the moment? What are your priorities? What's important to Ben Renchie right now today?
Profitability and margins. I tell you, you know, in a year where, you know, everything goes haywire, where interest rates go up and grain prices go down endlessly since the rallies last summer and everything, you know, I've learned from my input suppliers that they normalize the term better than expected. Because what are you going to do? You know, we didn't have much rain. We didn't have a big crop here. So you go out and you ask if the crop is better than expected. I want to normalize the term worse than expected. How's the grain market? Worse than expected. How's the interest price? Worse than expected. How's the farm equipment price going for you? Worse than expected. How's the weather? Still really hasn't started snowing or raining here since last year, so it's worse than expected. Let's normalize worse than expected.
Wow. Wow. I like that. I like that. If you've got some pamphlets or something, send them over to Joe Stackler. I'll read them. Ted Hamer, Come on in here, buddy. I feel like I'm surrounded by economic pessimism this morning. Where's your head at?
Well, I was going to say that, I'm so good. If I was any better, I'd have to be twins. But now I'm worse than expected.
No, go with that. Go with that. Ted, what consumes your thoughts these days?
You know, I spend a lot of time in the office, and it's just like Ben saying, spend a lot of time in the office, kind of like what we were showing on the balance sheet as the end of this year. And then we jump over and start working on cash flows and cost of production for this year, and profitability seems like a monumental task for this year going forward.
Yeah. I'm just making a few notes here. So, you know what? I sent you fellas a list. I'm going to jump clear to the very end, because I feel like where you're starting us here, Ben, let me send it over to you. And Ted, I'm going to ask you, to pipe in as you see fit here. But marketing for 2024 and then beyond, I mean, your main concern is profitability, Ben. Some would say in times of trouble, circle the wagons, keep doing what you're doing, no big moves. Others would say, yeah, let's stay flexible. Let's change our approach for marketing in 2024 so that we can have a beyond to market. Are you changing your approach or sticking to your guns for 2024?
Well, my marketing for last year could be only described as worse than expected. Sell it all when CV23, new crop, 23 corn was $6. Well, it didn't rain here all last summer, and it's just hard to pull the trigger like you should. We made some sales. We took some, we had some puts, but nothing like we should have, given what we've had. I think that there's, I think there's some factors in the market. Some educated opinions I talked to this week, they think that AI is having a huge impact on the velocity and the magnitude of the moves in our markets, that these computer learning models just drive us so far in one direction, and they've been successful pushing our grain markets down. Yes, you can point to the private and NAS numbers and say that there's, ample supply, but, that historically that we're probably at fairly good prices for the amount of carryover we have. And then, you've got your crowd that will say that, oh, my goodness, the market doesn't care about cost of production. Well, in the shorter term, no. But in the longer term, fringe acres aren't going to get bid in. Let's look at this year's upcoming planting intentions. If corn at new crop corn is, a $4 thing, $4 to $5 thing, I don't know. There's not as many places that make sense to plant $4 and $5 corn as $7 corn. So I imagine acreage royalties in. We dial back the groceries we throw at the crop, fertilizer, fungicides, inputs, and, we pull things back. My personality is I don't have that much of a survivorship bias. I can't pull the trigger on selling a lot of new crop now, because history will tell us sometime this summer we'll have a scare and we'll have some better prices, and hopefully it won't be over me again. So I'm kind of waiting for a little better opportunity to sell, because right now it's worse than expected.
Mm-hmm. But that does sound like the type of deal where once you do get that pop, boy, Ben Wrench, you better be ready, better be paying attention, better know what that number is and pull the trigger. Fair statement?
Wouldn't a 40-cent rally in new crop corn feel like a gift right now?
I think it would.
You better, Yeah, I mean, if you're ready to sell it there, you probably ought to have some orders in place to buy some puts, or something like that. So,
or at least have a concept of what those those numbers might look like. Ted, what's your approach in these turbulent times here? Are you changing it or sticking to your guns?
I think we stick to our guns from the standpoint of, you know, the right now, and Ben's 100% right, it's worse than expected. But I also think that, you know, we normally have a fair amount sold by, you know, I would say maybe 25% of our 24 production is priced, you know, was priced a while ago. I think we have to, you know, take advantage of those things when we're there. I'm a little concerned that some of the people we work with right now are suggesting that we even start looking out to the 25 crop at $5. And, you know, that has me a little concerned, but also I know that what they're thinking. And, you know, if you go back to a short crop like 2012 and then how great prices were, and while this wasn't necessarily a short crop, if you look at all the charts, we're headed down on trend. And while your previous guest was talking about longer term agriculture looks great, it's the near term. Just remember from 2013 to 2018, that was a very, very struggling time for us. And that's about where we were on those carryouts then. And those type of things concern me about how long could this last? Because we're, you know, if they're right on the size of the crop that we had this year,
yeah,
we're good at growing crops.
Sure. Yeah. Is
that or writing fiction? I don't know, one of the two.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to ask you, Ted, real quick. I know that Caleb is around, your son. Generationally, is your approach aggressive enough? Too aggressive? What does Caleb make of your marketing approach? I'm just curious.
Well, to be honest, he's handling it. I mean, we made the transition back in 2019. Yep. So Scott and Caleb Benkin, they each own 40% of this operation now, and I'm just 20%. So, and I will tell you this, and I would tell a lot of older guys out there, do it. You can't have more fun, because these guys let me do the things I like to do, and then when the salesmen come in and knock on the door and they want to visit, I say, ah, you're talking to the wrong guy. And that makes it really nice too. Yeah. So you get to do that. And yet, I mean, I think if I can use the term, I think they're kind enough to let me at least feel like I might be the chairman of the board, but you know what? They're the managers and they're calling the shots. And I couldn't be more proud. And second of all, I am having a blast.
Yeah, good. That's what it's about. I'm glad to hear you're in that spot there, Ted. That succession can be tricky. Ben, I want to ask you some questions about carbon capture. From your view, what is the latest? Are we gaining traction there? Honestly, I haven't heard a whole lot lately about carbon capture. So can you just give us a quick brief update about where that's at?
Yeah, well, when this came out of the chute, everybody wanted to be into it, and there were some early programs to incent farmers to try and be more regenerative in their farming, and really they are just thinly veiled marketing schemes. You know, we can either put $5 million in the advertising budget, or we can give you a little jingle for planting a cover crop sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But there's kind of sorting themselves out, and there's some real ones out there, and they require that you actually make an active effort to be a better farmer, be more planet positive. But what I think you really need to watch in this, my son, I too have a younger generation coming on our farm, and my son has been particularly good at just, you know, did you start this process by walking into the FSA and RCS and talk to them about, you know, some of their programs? And it's amazing what he's, you know, got us signed up for in the next year or two. And then there's some private ones that the consumer packaged good companies have to say that they have some sort of carbon reduction sustainability initiative, and they've printed in their annual report, and they don't want to go to the Gray Bar Hotel for not meeting these things. And so there were some things that came up this spring we signed up for that pay real money. I mean, real money, like trade pickup money, for doing some smart things on our farm.
And last but not least, in the carbon space, what you need to be watching right now is these 45Z tax credits that are, you know, part of the, I believe they're part of the Inflation Reduction Act, or tied closely there too. And then that the renewable fuels manufacturers should be able to pass some of this value on in their grain bins. So make sure you know what they call. If you don't know what a carbon intensity score is, that's what you need to do. Find your CI score.
Carbon intensity score. Ben, that's a really great update there. I may swing us over into those biofuels and start with Ted Hamer. We're going to go lightning round through the fourth here to get through the rest of this on AgriTalk.
Don't miss out on limited-time appliance deals during the closeout event at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, save an extra $100 when you spend $999 or more on all major appliances. Hurry, these deals are too good to last long. Shop in-store or online today, because Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid 1-4 through 1-24. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for details.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
With your choice of select sandwich, nugs, fries, and a drink, Wendy's $5 Biggie Bag is your go-to. Your nugget wing man. Your hot and crispy fry co-pilot.
Just like us. We're like the bag boys.
What?
Bag boys, bag boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we bring your food?
For a deal you can count on, bet on Biggie and choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Bag boys, bag boys.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes choice of KBC or crispy chicken sandwich with four-piece nugs, junior fry, and small soft drink. Third-party delivery pricing may be higher.
Hey, is this line secure?
Franco cybersecurity firm secured a contract, and that's all we're allowed to say.
We have a green light on hiring.
He needs web security professionals with a military background.
Three teams of four, 24-hour rotations, but Protocol Zulu is on a need-to-know basis.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard, so you can stay organized and connected all the way to the hire. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN, is here to talk about why farmers are choosing to finance their land with FBN Finance. TJ, as farmers consider where to get their land financing, why should they consider FBN Finance?
Yeah, at FBN Finance, we're dedicated to family farmers. We've created an experience to provide farmers all the essential information they need during their land financing journey. We offer our free land evaluation tool, AcreVision, to access land insights and metrics, land loan calculator to view estimated rates and fees when you are ready to get pre-qualified, or you can use your online application to take advantage of instant approvals on qualified applications.
Okay, you just mentioned pre-qualification, instant approvals. Can you explain those and how they might benefit farmers?
Yeah, if you're starting your process, we offer pre-qualifications so you know your loan possibilities from the start. You can go into negotiations with more confidence and speed up the timeline when you are ready. We created an online application that will save you time, and you can track your application's progress. Every minute counts, which is why we offer instant approvals where your land loan application could potentially be approved within minutes for land loans up to $2.5
million. Wow, okay. Are there any other benefits that we have not mentioned?
Everything we do here at FBN Finance is to empower farmers. With over $1 billion in funds committed across over 1,700 farmers and counting, we make it easy and affordable for you to finance your operation with land purchases, refinances, or improvements. And right now, we're offering AgriTalk listeners $500 off your closing costs for land loans over $250,000. All you need to do is fill out our form at fbn.com/agritalk or call us directly at 833-FBN-LEND, that's L-E-N-D, to speak with a loan advisor and mention AgriTalk.
Fantastic. Thank you, TJ. That is TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN, fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND and be sure to mention AgriTalk.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation. Normally, beloved listener, I would affirm that, but no, there's no time. Don't call. Don't call. There's no time because we got to go lightning round here. I've got Ben Renshie and Ted Hamer, a couple of farmers from Iowa. Ted, I'm going to throw it over to you. Biofuels. What are you excited about, if anything, in the biofuels? And I might even just sort of roll in domestic demand expectations, because it feels to me like domestic demand expectations can get out of hand in a hurry. Your thoughts?
Well, that's what we've been told now for about 2 years, you know, that right. We aren't going to be able to grow enough soybeans for the renewable diesel and all that kind of stuff. I'm ready for it. It could happen, you know, if they want to get to that level that they say we need to be at tomorrow, that's fine with me. Let's get there. But you know, as everything, it takes time to get there, but I am excited. I mean, I think it sounds great. I like the fact that they're buying my soybeans and the fact that we have big oil on our side this time in this debate, where in the ethanol side, we didn't. That will help. That definitely helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting wrinkle. Ben, domestic demand expectations in 2024 and through 2030, it's a big topic. I guess basically my question is, are expectations realistic from those that you've spoken with?
I would say wholeheartedly so. Touching on what Ted just said, okay, if you want any sort of counterpoint with all the new soy crush capacity going in, I will say that before you count it all as additional market, I think some of that is actually going to replace some very dated infrastructure in soy crush. So, you know, but if you have a 75% catch rate, this is still a huge new increase in soy oil demand. Mm-hmm. Now, on corn, I will make the argument, if you look at corn ethanol use, and I know you can find a headline every day that says that we're either going to not sell ethanol or we're going to triple it. Ethanol demand is relatively constant. I mean, it doesn't look like the corn chart in terms of variability. I mean, it looks like if you don't have a pandemic or you don't have an annual kind of fall shutdown, it kind of looks like it vacillates a few percent. It's not a crazy huge increase or decrease. It's here to stay. It's part of the infrastructure.
Well, you might say actual demand for ethanol is worse than expected, but maybe we would take stability over huge volumes. Ted?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you want me to go with that, but I just, you know, it's just that, you know, there are some exciting things out there, and I do think long-term agriculture does look very promising. However, you know, you kind of talked about some other topics we could talk about. There does seem to be a lot of push against us as farmers. You know, you got John Kerry out there trying to tell us that, you know, we're causing all this climate change and, you know, so those type of things do concern me.
This, I've got a news story here just from this morning. French farmers staged protests Wednesday today
across France and in Brussels against low wages and what they consider to be excessive regulation, mounting costs and other problems. Now, fellas, I wasn't going to bring up the Davos summit with the World Economic Forum, but I'm seeing some significant pushback on some of these globalist ideas, some of these ideas that want to that would be critical of the farming industry. And we're seeing European farmers push back in big ways. I don't know, guys, does an election fix it here? I don't know who wants to weigh in on that.
No. I'm going to jump in real quick.
Yeah,
no, an election doesn't fix it, because here's the thing. Business grows at the speed of trust, and we don't trust who's in charge anymore. And that's unfortunate, but that is the truth. We don't trust whoever is in control of the White House or Congress. And that's why it's going to take a long time to build that trust back before we'll grow.
Ben,
well,
did you
Joe,
have a
yep. you know, we've maybe reached peak Davos, you know. I mean, let's face it, the World Economic Forum is where the billionaires tell the millionaires to have their working people give more entitlements to people who don't want to work. And so, anyway, you know, but I think the message, you know, is that look at Germany. You know, if you've seen any of these tractor rallies in Germany the past 10 days, it's just fascinating, you know, that you can only push people so far and then they break. And we had a couple German interns at our farm last year. They're driving tractors to, you know, Hanover and Berlin and representing their families don't want to be oppressed.
Yeah, I think that's very cool. Very cool. Quickly, I want to move to the New Hampshire primary just really quick, just because of this question here. And I think it was probably from an exit poll, but they report if Trump, former President Donald Trump, is convicted of a felony, 42% of voters in New Hampshire and nearly a third of Iowa's Republican caucus goers said Trump would be unfit for the presidency. Now, I maintain that the Republican side is convinced the Biden family complete criminals. Meanwhile, on the other side of the aisle, everybody's convinced that Donald Trump is a complete criminal. When we're talking about trying to find the middle here, I don't know. How concerned are you if Trump is convicted of a felony? Ben, let's throw that to you quickly.
Well, on one of the farmer boards I serve, we get very good Washington insight, and probably what I heard about this. Look, most of the cases have been brought by some sort of activism or activist judges. And I think that as Trump becomes clarified as the nominee, you ask yourself as a judge whether you really want to say Trump, you know, attack some woman in a Macy's fitting room, you know.
Right.
Maybe some of this backs off. I think this is about, you know, winding people up so that they watch, you know, the news. That's what it's about.
Wind people up so they watch the news, man. That's right there. Ben Renchi, thanks for being on the show this morning. We really appreciate your time, brother. Have a great day.
Hey, this was not worse than expected. This was better than expected.
Absolutely. And Ted the Hammer, appreciate you, brother. Have a great day, Ted.
Yeah, thanks. I was going to say that, Ben. I was going to say the show was worse than expected.
All right, I'm cutting you guys off. Michelle Rourke has Arlen Suderman this afternoon on AgriTalk.
There I was, driving along, when I saw the corn laying down in the field, goosenecked again. Even though I tried everything, new traits, existing soil insecticides, every corn grower knows the hassle of gooseneck corn. But now there's Narisma Insecticide from BASF, a better, stronger in-furrow insecticide that controls corn rootworm and below-ground pests. Stand up for your corn with Narisma Insecticide. Ask your authorized BASF retailer about Narisma, and always read and follow label directions.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
This year, wouldn't it be great to stop dealing with thin, brittle, shedding hair and instead have the thick, healthy, gorgeous hair you've always wanted? Now you can by using Hair Volume from New Nordic. Look for Hair Volume at your local Walgreens and CVS or online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
My daughter is normally a little goofball. But after a bad night's sleep, she's too tired to be anything. That's why I trust Pure Z's Kids. Pure Z's Kids is mindfully formulated just for kids. Their non-habit-forming, drug-free products help my daughter fall asleep.